page 479, Job 19. And when you get there, page 479 in the Church Bibles, Job 19, Madison's going to read for us verses 23 to 29, and then Mark is going to come and speak. Thank you, Madison.
Oh, that my words were written down. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that they were with an iron pen and lead, they are engraved on a rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, then in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see on my side, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart faints within me. If you say, how will we persecute him, and the root of the matter is found in him, be afraid of the sword, for wrath brings the punishment of the sword, so that you may know there is a judgment. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, do keep that part of the Bible open, and we're going to pray and ask for God's help, and then I'm going to ask for your help to help me to try and unpack a little of this story. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you speak through your word. Help us to wrestle as Job wrestled with this idea of suffering, that we would respond in the same way, acknowledging that you are the Redeemer and that you love us. Amen. Okay, I'm after three volunteers. No, in fact, I want six. I want three big people and three little people, if that's all right. Jack, you're definitely big. Do come. Esther, come and join us. Yes. Lana, come and join us. There's three. Three big people. Nina, oh my goodness. Nina, I did say big people, sorry. Who else have we got? Boys at the back, come on. Okay, here we go. So, I'm not quite sure who's little and big, but anyway, we'll do this. Okay, we're going to have three characters, the good, the bad, and the cuddly. Okay, so what you need to do is one, two, three. Cameron, you come over here. I'm going to be up for it. Okay, you've got to basically dress up the very characters, the good, the bad, and the cuddly. Who looks the goodest of them all? All right, here we go. But Lana's going to be helping. Here we go. Nina,
yes.
I'm going to turn you into a baddie. Here we go. Come on, stick that on. Can you come on, Cameron? Make her into a pirate. One of those, 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 one of those. Okay, who looks cuddly out of these two boys? Jack. There you go. And Cameron, you're the goody-goody. Okay, here we go. So, all goody-goodies. For some reason, wear tea towels on their heads. All right. Well, the exciting thing about the good, the bad, and the cuddly is that actually there are three prizes in here. And what I thought we'd do is try and work out, boys and girls, which one matches which one. Does that... Which one matches which one? Here we go. It's going to be difficult, but we've got one by one. Come up here. We'll do the cuddly first. Jack, come and stand here. I've got three presents here. One, two, and three. Boys and girls, which one matches which person? Here we go. First one, big cuddly toy. Okay. Number two, box of chocolates. Okay. Number three, a shaving foam pie. Okay, here we go. So, three options. It's a difficult one, isn't it? The difficult thing about this... Okay, we need them to stand up the top here, if that's all right. And over here, Nina. Come over here. Can you stand up here, Nina? Nina, can you give us your scariest, nastiest kind of... scare the children kind of roar or something? Or arr?
Arr?
She's not that convincing. Okay, so boys and girls, here we go. Let's start at this far end. Who should get the chocolates, do you think?
Ben.
Who? The good, the cuddly, or the bad? The good, the bad, the cuddly. These are the children. Children, yes? Who? The good. Here we go. To the good. Who should get the cuddly teddy bear? Who? The cuddly one. Here we go. So you need to stand here. Here we go. You hold on to that for the moment. Hold on to that. Get ready to present. Here you go. Come on, Lana. Get ready. And Cameron, I know this is going to be hard for you. It's going to be very hard. But stand over here with Nina. Who should get the pie? Who said Mark? I'll get you. Now, do you know what? In our story, the good, the bad, and the cuddly, in our story, we have the good. Do you know what? Job was good. In fact, the Bible talks about him as being the righteous man. He was the good man. And do you know what happens in the story? Does he get the chocolate? What does he get? He gets the pie! Okay, go and sit down. You see, the story starts with a shocker. It's a shocker. You laugh. But to be honest with you in life, it's a shocker, isn't it? Go and sit down there for the moment, because maybe there's part two. He says, maybe there's not, but we'll see. Now, the story is this. We all kind of, we're in life, we can understand good things happen to good people, bad things happen to bad people, okay? And we're kind of in the middle and we have a bit of good and a bit of bad. That's generally how we understand life, isn't it? That's generally where we think. But this story challenges us. Because bad things happen to the good person, and we ask, why? God, what are you doing? Now, I think we can all relate to that. Just this last week, I was spending time with a family, and they lost everything. Not of any fault of their own at all. I know of another family who lost a child. In fact, they lost two children within a few years. I know of another person I was speaking to this last week. They're struggling with ill health. Others I know are struggling with dementia. What did they do to deserve those situations? And the answer is nothing. We've got to start there. If you think God is like a change machine, you put the money in, you pull the handle, and out comes the sweeties, then you've misunderstood God. He's not a vending machine. Job helps us to wrestle a bit more with who is God, and actually the bigger picture as to what's going on. Job himself asks these questions, and we know a little bit about the big picture. But Job asks these questions. How can God let this happen? Why do the wicked prosper? Why is there violence on the earth? Do these sound familiar? Do you know people who ask these questions? Job asks them, and he is blameless and righteous. That is the dilemma we have in this story of Job. But turn with me to Job chapter 18. This is after three of his friends have come along. And they've basically said to him, Job, you've done something wrong. God, the slot machine, doesn't seem to be working. You need to give him a kick. But ultimately, what have you done? You obviously haven't put in the right amount of money. And therefore, God isn't giving you the righteous reward. Well, chapter 19 starts with us hearing verse 2, how long will you torment me and break me to pieces with words? That's what Job says to his friends. You're breaking me by what you're saying. Next verse, these 10 times you have cast reproach upon me. Are you not ashamed to wrong me? He says, look, time and time and time and time and time and time and time, 10 times you've basically said to me, I've earned it, I've done something wrong. I need to, and I'm saying, I haven't. You wrong me by saying, I deserve this. Boys and girls, have you ever been told off when it wasn't your fault? No. You probably have never been told off, have you? No. But sometimes, you see, that's what Job felt like. He felt like he was being told off and he'd never done anything to deserve it. Well, let's see how Job replies. And this is where we see Job's true heart. Yes, he cries. Yes, he goes, I don't understand God. Yes, he says, God, I know you're in charge. And everything that happens, you allow to happen because you are all-powerful and all-knowing and all-seeing, etc. But he says, but I'm not going to dishonor you. He does not reject God. In fact, we see in this little verse, he relies on God, his Redeemer. He relies on God, his Redeemer. I've got three images to help you. Image number one is the book. Here we go. Cameron, stand up. Lift up the book. And notice what it goes on to say in Job chapter 19, verse 23. Here we go. And listen to these. Listen to this irony. Job says, oh, that my words were written down. Someone write down these words. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with an iron pen and with lead, that they were engraved on a rock forever. And we go, yeah, we're reading them today. Thanks, Job. Can you see how God's going, yes, Job, you're going to be a massive encouragement for many, 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 many people through the ages. And yes, you don't know it now and you're frustrated and you're kind of going, look, at one day, as I stand before God as my judge, I'll be proved to be righteous. And we're going, yes, you have, Job. So if ever you wrestle with these questions, Job in the book, in the Bible, is the place to go. That's the first clue in the Bible. Second picture, or second thing, is this. The big picture. Does anybody know what this is? Come on, who's my next helper? Lana, here we go. Lana, hold that in the air. Do you know what that's a picture of? It's a picture of a dog. It looks a bit like a dog, but there's a zebra in there and there's a bowl. Do we understand the big picture just from the little jigsaw piece that we have? Do you know what life's about, little jigsaw pieces? We go through little bits. Have you ever done it at Christmas? You've sat with a jigsaw and you've gone, I've got no idea. This is slightly darker than that blue, but a little lighter than that blue, and it goes somewhere, probably in the sky, somewhere on this picture that's supposed to be about cuddly, fluffy things or something. But this... when you see the big picture, you can see it's part of the bigger picture of Noah and of God's redemption, his salvation of the animals and the people, the family. So you see, it's important to have the big picture. Hold that up. Job, he understood the big picture. Look with me again at the little passage we were reading. It said this, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the last he will stand upon the earth, and after my skin has been thus destroyed." The picture is this. He can see, it might not be now, but he knows that his Redeemer lives. How does he know that his Redeemer lives? Well, you see, he was a righteous man and he loved the word. He would have been a man who would have known. He would have known how God, time and time and time again, had been described as the Redeemer. The one who vindicated, the one who came and saved. We see it throughout the Psalms. We see it in Isaiah. We see it in Jeremiah. We even know about it in Ruth. Do you remember the story of Ruth? Ruth and Naomi? It's a similar story, isn't it? Ruth and Naomi. They lost absolutely everything. They relied on God. And who came to save? The kinsman redeemer. Who was it? Boaz. Boaz redeemed and saved. God has always been a redeemer. He's always been a saver. And then we get to the New Testament. You see, if we look at the big picture, we then see one who comes once and for all to save, to redeem. And who's that? Romans 3 tells us. Since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, they are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ brings redemption once and for all. That's the picture. God has always been a redeemer. God has always been a savior. God has always been. But actually, at the time, when you get stuck on the little piece of the puzzle and the little part of our life, seeing the big picture of God going, one day, you will see the whole of your life and you'll see eternity, and actually you'll understand a little better that I save, but I'm not going to save you out of that, but I will save you through your circumstances. Jesus Christ has redeemed those who? Those who believe. So believers, when faced with rubbish circumstances, well, they don't reject God, they rely on God. Have you ever met a Christian who's suffering and you don't understand their faith? Have you ever done that? That actually they trust God all the more. In fact, they shine all the more. They are shining for Jesus in spite of their circumstances, not because of their circumstances. And you see that in my heart of hearts is often what happens, is that actually I love God because I love my life and my circumstances, my health, wealth and happiness. But actually it's when the tough time comes that you really see the depth of my love for the Lord. That's the picture. So big picture, Bible, big picture. Last one is this. Here you go, Esther. You've got my bike. You probably didn't notice the bike mentioned in the passage we've read. But let me explain to you. Just come and hold it up here. It's a bit hairy. It's not that heavy, but that's great. Stand on the other side. Otherwise, you'll get oily. Many years ago, I did the London to Brighton cycle ride. Have you ever done this London to Brighton cycle ride? If you have done it, there comes a point that you're with everybody else. You're kind of going, ooh, lovely. You're ringing your bell. You're having a super time. People are stopping off, having a coffee and a beer. And you get kind of to the bottom and you're thinking, it can't be long now. And then you look. And you look. And you see hundreds upon hundreds of people all getting off their bikes, going like this, as you get up there. Now, I'd said I would not stop. It was a cycle ride. It was not a walking. So I stayed on my bike. I got to my lowest gears, and a bit of pride kind of went, right, I'm going to do it. And I got up to the top of the hill, and it went round and went up again. So I carried on going, and I got up to the top of the hill. And if you've ever done it, you know it then goes round the corner again. And it keeps on going. And it's the most disheartening of things ever. But do you know what? I knew that the end was in sight and I knew it couldn't go on forever. So I kept on pedaling and kept on pedaling until I got to the top. Sometimes life's a bit like that. You see, Job realized that the pain, the suffering won't go on forever. He saw, it wasn't the bike. But what he saw was the future with God beside him. Look back at the passage. After my skin has been destroyed, then in my flesh I shall see God. It's like seeing the finishing line. It's like seeing your family at the end of a race. But I will see God, whom I shall see where? On my side. I will see him on my side. And my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart faints within me. You all know pain comes before the gain, don't you? You know that hard work in sport and in life, but to achieve something, you know that hard revision comes before good results. You know that the refining comes before the shining. Well, that's the same in life. But we often want that free pass, that kind of, go straight to Mayfair, don't we? The skip to go and get free parking, and that's what we want. But God says, actually, that's not best for you. He says, look, when you pray that my faith would be strengthened, he says, yes, I will strengthen it. But it's not going to be strengthened in the easy times, is it? When you pray for patience, God says, yes, I'll help you with your patience. But it's not going to be when you want to have those testing times. It'll be what's best for you. You'll ask us, teach me to love better, Lord. And he'll say, yes, I'll put unlovely people in your life, your neighbours,
people will come in and they'll challenge and change you. You see, we struggle with those times of testing. Job shines. So, Job remembers, God is on my side, I will see him one day. So you see, whatever we face, whether we are the good, the bad, or the ugly, the reality is this, whatever we get isn't directly related. We don't earn all the nice things. But actually what we do is get opportunities. And the question is, will we reject God when the rough time comes? Or will we rely on God, our Redeemer? So remember the book. Any questions? Go to Job and read the rest. This is just a little snippet. More is to come. If you're going through the tough times, remember the bigger picture. Remember the bigger picture. My Redeemer lives. And in Jesus, we have one who goes through death so that we may have eternity with him. And lastly, remember, not the bike, but that God is by our side. One day we see him face to face. That reminder that he loves us and is looking out for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of Job. And as he cried that it all be written down, it has been written down. And it helps us. We're sorry for the way that we often think that you should just give us good things. We're sorry for the times that we want to sack you like a football manager. Because tough times come. Help us to be like Job, declaring my Redeemer lives and knowing that through the tough times, there will come a time when we will see you face to face, that you will be by our side forever. Thank you. Amen.